Well, it's the election aftermath. It was a week ago that was the election, and the aftermath continues. And it's day two of our kindness revolution. Now, sometimes I'll launch out with these, but I think the Josh Wilson Revolutionary, that song will either be after us or before us. So that at least it creates a little bit of, I don't want it to be too mundane, you know. So.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
But now you posted something on Facebook yesterday. I want you to share some scripture, which is kind of the opposite of kindness. So tell me, what was in your mind as you posted this passage from, what was it, 2 Timothy?
Yeah, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And I think what was kind of going on, I've been working on this Bible project, and I kind of came through this section in what I was working on yesterday and just kind of reminded of, as you had said, kind of the opposite of kindness. And, I think I'm aware of some of these traits within myself. I think as we look around, we can see some traits as well. And so Paul is describing to Timothy, who he's writing to, kind of these difficult times, how people are going to show up. And so what this is in the Message version, what he says is, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people.
Wow, that's quite a mouthful.
It is, you know, and I think I had said to you yesterday that when I went through Larry Crabb's Next Step School for Spiritual Direction, this was the passage he spent a lot of time on. And,
Did he say why?
No, I think he just, as he's going through his Bible study stuff, he'll be like, well, this is a good one to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where he was at. But, I think for me, there's a huge, I wondered what was going on for Paul as, you know, because this is kind of the thesaurus of bad character traits, right? I mean, he's just kind of going through all of these self-centered, angry, hateful sorts of things. And I think it struck me again that these traits can show up not only in others, but in ourselves. And, he finishes that up by saying, stay clear of these people. And I think part of the reason for that is because often these things are catching. We can begin to manifest those things in ourselves as well. And I think it's true also that kindness is catching. And so we have to decide which direction we're going with that.
Well, that is really good stuff. And so I think we just kind of find our way in this ongoing, daily, consecrated conversation. It's a journey. It's like a conversational walk. And so I don't want to rush away from that. I want to unpack it because there were a lot of things there. It kind of reminded, that list is kind of like, oh, this is like in Galatians 5. It's like, these are the sins of the flesh, blah.
Right.
And so, exactly. I don't know, let's kind of peel those back because I think we need to look at ourselves and say, I don't want to not only not show that externally, but dear Lord, please remove even the root of that from me, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's exactly right. And the contrast or the comparison with Galatians 5 is really important, I think.
Yeah.
Because there Paul says, you know, here are the sins of the flesh, but here is the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, okay, these things may show up, but here's what would really be ideal if you are living in step with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think you're exactly right.
All right. We will continue to unpack that more slowly starting tomorrow. Thank you, Jason.
Sure. You bet. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. WWIB. And it's that time of the year, the end of the year, and you start getting the awards and you start getting, we have the word of the year now.
The word of the year for 2020.
And I know we're both big words guys.
Sure.
And so you don't know yet, so I want you to guess a little bit. Anything come to mind?
Appalling.
No. Yeah, anything related to the challenges of COVID. Yes. The word of the year, I want a drum roll here. The word of the year is lockdown.
Oh, sure.
Lockdown, name of the word of the year by Collins Dictionary. Now, Collins Dictionary getting some good PR. They're getting out in front before the other dictionaries naming this.
Is there a race among the dictionaries? Like, okay, we're all going to release it the week of Thanksgiving or something, and then someone just undercuts
the whole
process.
Well, I mean, it seems a little early. Like, we still have 6 weeks left in the year.
Yeah,
Collins
records
a 6,000% increase in the usage of the word lockdown since last year, with TikToker and Mexit, M-E-G-X-I-T, Mexit, ranking among the mostly coronavirus-related terms. So lockdown, the noun that's come to define so many lives across the world this year, the word of the year.
Well, here's a word for you, Havel. Incredible. This just came out yesterday, this story. A young man from Florida became the first person ever with Down syndrome to cross the finish line in an Ironman triathlon.
Amazing.
For those who aren't familiar, this event is incredible. I mean, the best athletes in the world. It includes swimming 2.4 miles, cycling 112 miles, and then after that, you run a full marathon.
Yeah, wow.
Chris Nykic, he received official recognition in the Guinness World Records. The Ironman Triathlon has been around for over four decades, and never once has a person with Down syndrome ever attempted to take on such a feat. But Chris did, and he succeeded. Pretty awesome.
That is amazing. Absolutely. So congratulations to him. I remember Jim Collins at a leadership event. He wrote Good to Great, and he talked about his wife did the Ironman Triathlon in Hawaii. And ABC used to cover that, I know, with Wide World of Sports. And just he told a great story about the perseverance and just seeing it through to the end, because I think you finish with the marathon, right?
Yeah, yeah. And 26.2 miles, which is exhausting enough.
Yes, and you've swam and you've biked, and so that is really something.
Well, good morning to Suzanne from Feed My People. We have her on the line this morning as we are a few weeks into our annual 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign to benefit Feed My People Food Bank. Good morning, Suzanne. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Now, we've been
mentioning everybody over there.
We are doing well, and we are very thankful for that. And we just, you guys are on our minds, on our hearts a lot, too. I know that in a year like this, you've seen a pretty massively increased need.
We have. What we're seeing is that those that were struggling before the pandemic started are seeing it at a much deeper level now. And then we're also seeing those so many families, so many people who've never had to ask for help before. And so it has really been our honor to be able to do whatever we can to serve them and to do it in a way that's safe. Of course, everything has to be safe right now. So it's been quite a 6 months or so.
And so we're hearing a lot about, we're so grateful to the businesses partnering with us in 60 Ways in 60 Days and hoping others will join in as well. Maybe you can speak to those listeners directly and make the appeal in terms of their participating in the campaign.
Yeah, I have to say that this has been such a difficult time for so many, as we all know, but I'm also the generosity of so many, including these wonderful business sponsors and your listeners. The generosity just takes my breath away. This is a time where we're doing whatever we can to just keep up. I had a mother in our distribution line last week who cried and said, I have two teenage boys. I've lost my job. I have no job in sight, you know, and we want to help those people. We want to be there for them. And if we can take away the barrier of hunger, then they can redirect those funds other places. We just need to get through this together. And we need to understand that there's so many in our community who are just really struggling, and that struggle is going to go on for a while, we believe. So, again, the generosity of your business sponsors and the wonderful listeners in the past, we have done great things with this campaign, haven't we? I mean, we really have, and so grateful, and look forward to doing that again this year.
Suzanne, could you talk about how far gifts to Feed My People go? Because, again, we're talking about this year, how a single dollar provides four meals. Literally, if you give a dollar, you could help a family of four eat tonight. Can you talk about how you're able to make those dollars stretch so far and what you do to provide food all throughout West Central Wisconsin?
Right. So being a food bank and part of the Feeding America Network and working with so many partners, food suppliers and rescue partners and so many, we are able to really leverage dollars. We're able to take advantage of food that might otherwise go into a landfill. But it's just fine, and we're able to do that for a fraction of the cost of what if you had to buy it at the grocery store. So really a dollar given to Feed My People goes such a long way in helping our neighbors.
Well, Suzanne, we hope this campaign is a blessing and encouragement to you as well as to thousands of people throughout West Central Wisconsin. Our goal is to double $5,000 from our business sponsors. And if we are able to do that with $10,000, quick math from this comm major says 40,000 meals could be provided. And people just need to go to 60 Ways in 60 Days at WWIB.com. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, and you all stay well.
Thanks, Suzanne. Appreciate it, and keep up the great work. We appreciate you so much. Feed My People, and great to partner with them again this year. All right, WWIB 13 in front of 9 o'clock and 33 degrees and a very familiar voice on the other end of the phone. He's here every Saturday, and from noon to 1, he's taking the calls. Today we're talking to him, Steve Snyder. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Heads by Air?
Please remember to repeat your phone number at least twice and no more than three items.
Yes,
listed.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, morning, gang. Thanks for throwing me on the air like this.
Yeah, well, we're not going to try to abuse you or anything. So I think that Rod did give an update earlier for the overnight listeners. But we wanted to have you on, and we're privileged to be able to let you kind of bring people up to speed. What's going on with you these
days? Okay, the story is I began when this dilemma first appeared, I was actually planning for a funeral in Sheldon. Maybe a couple of Fridays ago, and my left hand just would not do what it likes to do on the keyboard.
Mm.
And so then I was also having a hard time walking. My left leg is just not quite behaving right either. And that is all due to, as I found out yesterday, I was in Marshfield. Thank you to Kevin Munson, who hauled me down there and got an MRI, and there's a tumor about just a little over an inch in diameter that has some fluid building up around it that is exerting pressure on some of the nerves that are affecting my left side. Mm. So the plan is, initially here, they've given me a steroid to take to reduce that inflammation that will hopefully reduce some of those symptoms. And then I've got to line up a CAT scan in Rice Lake to take another look at my abdomen and pelvic area to see if there are any other, to see if that tumor has metastasized other places or anything. And they were actually almost hoping that there was, because one of those other locations would be much easier to extract a sample for a biopsy. The one in my brain, they just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd like to get a biopsy to determine what type of and the degree of radiation they're going to throw at this thing. So that radiation is planned down the road at this point. And that's kind of the nitty-gritty dirty of it right there.
So they can't, you were told that they can't do surgery in terms of the mass in your brain.
Yeah, it was reluctant because they were reluctant because of just going through the skull, and at least this doctor expressed that, and it seemed fairly confident, and so anyway, that was thought not to be the case. That to get a biopsy, they would like to find a more easier spot to look to access. But so that's kind of the. Yeah, that's the picture as I know it right now.
Steve, I know you always are taking prayer requests, taking song requests, and serving the WIB listening family. How can they and we serve you right now in prayer? What are some of the things? I know you're one of the most relentlessly positive people that I know, but how can we best lift you up right now?
I think to pray to shrink that tumor would be great, or for it to be... for it to disappear would be just outstanding. But so to get the for the steroid to have its intended effect to shrink the inflammation on those nerves to make it a little easier for me to walk around and hold things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's pray for you right now. I mean, I'm up for it. So let's do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for Steve. He's such a great and fun brother in the Lord. We love him on the air. Saturdays and holidays and whenever time. And yes, just by faith, we ask that you would shrink that tumor and make it disappear, whether supernaturally or through the fine medical folks that he's working with. And boy, we just pray for a long and healthy life for him. And so just we just commit him from head to toe and all around into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that way more than I can say.
Mm. We love you, Steve.
Yeah, we totally love you. And you're the punster, man. You are always making jokes, even when we chatted off
air. I love that elephant joke yesterday, too.
About this on Saturday, you're joking about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And I've been overwhelmed by the love support that's just been showered on me. Just amazingly. And I so appreciated Rod's prayer request last night, too.
Well, you're part of the WIB family, and when we say we are family, we mean it with all of our listeners. And so one big happy family spiritually. So Caleb had this idea. He said, Steve takes song requests all the time. So, Steve, what do you want to hear?
You know what? I'd love to hear a song by Brian Duncan called Strolling on the Water.
Very good.
Brian Duncan, Strolling on the Water. That's pulling one out of the hat.
It's just a fun tune.
Fantastic.
Tell us why you want to hear that one.
I like the idea of, I think it refers to those times in the Gospels where Jesus, you know, where the disciples are out on the water and the storm comes up and Jesus, and they freak out and they're all over Jesus and he's just sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And that peace in the midst of the storm that's exemplified by that is just so... So it's just so beautiful. And during this song, as you'll hear in the lyrics, Brian Duncan takes on the character of Peter, and Jesus invites him out to walk on the water. And Brian, in the song, Brian, he just describes that, and it's just such a carefree experience, and it just reflects how we can lean on Jesus.
Well, you've got that love relationship with the Lord, and it comes through loud and clear. Here's the tune, Steve. Strolling on the Water, Brian Duncan. I whip
for just a little glimpse of you. That's all I need. It's all I've ever needed. See beyond myself, beyond this tiny little world. All your hands have made with beauty and strength alone, and I can see you coming to me now. Oh, like a shimmering light on an open sea, barefoot on the water, laughing at the ocean like you were old friends, calling out my name, saying, "Join me now." Strolling. Safe and dry, but so free. Let me come.